And away we go. We're off and running on this Getaway Friday morning. Getaway Friday morning. Friday the 13th, Triskaidekaphobia Day. Holy moly. And this hour, we're going to be joined by Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the man known as America's toughest sheriff, and a man who was pardoned by President Trump in the year 2017, who is running for sheriff again in Maricopa County out in Arizona. He will be joining us live via telephone in about 15 minutes, and that will take us up through 10 o'clock. So that should be highly interesting, to say the least. It will be live as it happens, so you won't want to miss that. But let's get right back into our trivia questions here today, because we have 15 minutes for you to answer the trivia questions. Does anybody know how Friday the 13th was first portrayed in literature? Does anybody know how Friday the 13th was first portrayed in literature? What happened on Friday the 13th in literature is the question. What comes in 13s that has to do kind of with the idea of Friday the 13th? What comes in 13s? What person, kind of a scary person, or a person associated with scary things, was born on Friday the 13th? I did not realize this until last night. What scary person or person associated with scary things was born on Friday the 13th? Can anybody tell me the two famous people in history who actually had Triskaidekaphobia, the fear of 13? There were two hugely famous people who not just were paranoid of the number 13, but were actually diagnosed as being Triskaidekaphobic, fear of 13. Who were those two famous people? And our holdover questions, does anybody know the lyrics, or can anybody sing on this Friday the 13th, Java Jive, the song about coffee? Kind of an a cappella group type of a song. Was done by the Ink Spots about 100 years ago. Does anybody know the lyrics to Java Jive? Or our long-standing question, which we've had a lot of guesses at, what local Marion business, which is still in business today, was the sponsor of the last charity ball back in 2007? And as I said, remember, this is a local Marion business that is still in business today. Does anybody know what that local Marion business was that sponsored the radio broadcast of the final charity ball back in 2007, 12 years ago? A local Marion business that you could walk into today. 740-383-9944, 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour, Friday the 13th. Tickets to the Columbus Zoo, tickets to Jack Hanna's Wilds, and a Huntsman Auto Oil Change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only. And this morning, we've already had two winners. We've had Judy Kuhn, who's going to go to the Wilds, and we have had Ryan Garno, who got an oil change to Huntsman Auto Oil. Or Huntsman Auto, I guess he'll get an oil change at Huntsman Auto. Remember, you can pick up your prizes Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., but you have 10 days to pick them up, so you don't have to pick them up the same day that you win the prize. You have 10 days. Or if you just want to call in and answer the trivia question, you can do that as well. Or if you just want to call in and talk about something that's on your mind, feel free. We love to hear from you, the listening audience. That's why we are here in Marion. 740-383-9944. How was Friday the 13th first portrayed in literature? The first time it was written about, in a story that was not factual, that it was fiction, what happened on Friday the 13th? What kind of a scary type of thing happens in 13s. What scary person or persons associated with scary things was born on Friday the 13th? Can anybody think of a scary person or a person associated with scary things who was born on Friday the 13th? Can anybody name the two famous people in history that were actually diagnosed with triskaidekaphobia, the fear of 13? Does anybody know the two famous people in history that were actually triskaidekaphobic? What local business sponsored the final Charity Ball radio broadcast? Does anybody know what local business that was that sponsored the final Charity Ball radio broadcast? It's a local business that is still in business today here in Marion. Does anybody know the words to the Java Jive song done by the Ink Spots? Song about coffee. 740-383-9944. Tickets to the Wilds, tickets to the Columbus Zoo, or a Huntsman Auto Oil Change. 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only. Questions are here and ready to go. 21 minutes past the hour. Sheriff Joe Arpaio coming up in about 9 minutes live here on the station. Does anybody have, we talked about this in hour number one, mochaccino, frappuccino, and I think a mochaccino is something obviously to do with chocolate, mocha. But what is a frappuccino? This probably all goes back to cappuccino, which I'm not really sure. Let's see. Cappuccino had something to do with foam, that there was foam on top of it. Now, why that made it more expensive, I have no idea, but it did have something to do with foam. Does anybody know what a frappuccino is as opposed to a cappuccino, as opposed to a mochaccino? Does anybody know their chinos? Does chino mean foam in some society along the way? See, if I were a real radio host, I would be prepared, and I would have these answered. But I rely on you, the listening audience, to fill in the holes, where obviously my brain is Swiss cheese and needs to be filled in. 740-383-9944. You know, a lot of people dunk things in coffee. We haven't even talked about that coffee cake. I mean, I don't know why that's coffee cake when you think about it. See, these are things I think about. Why? It's basically crumb cake, isn't it? Why did that become coffee cake? Because I would think of all the things you could dunk in your coffee, you would not want to dunk crumb cake, because you're going to get crumbs in your coffee. But somehow, crumb cake has become associated with coffee. Now, why is that? Are you not supposed to dunk it? Are you just supposed to eat it as you drink your coffee? Or, I don't know, is it just supposed to taste like coffee? Is that the idea? Does anybody know the answers for this? These spine-tingling questions on this triskaidekaphobia getaway Friday the 13th? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What is the deal with coffee cake? This feels kind of like a Jerry Seinfeld routine. Why do we have coffee cake? Why is that? I don't know. Is there anything else associated with coffee besides coffee itself and coffee cake? I know a lot of people dunk donuts in coffee. Now, that seems more logical to me, to dunk a donut in coffee, because you're not going to lose the donut in the coffee. Although, I guess you could, but you'd have to leave it in there a long time. I've never really seen anybody dunking cookies in coffee or anything like that. Ginger snaps. I guess I've seen that. I don't know why a ginger snap would taste better in coffee. It's interesting. Any thoughts on this? Somebody out there has to have a thought on this. 740-383-9944. Or maybe I'm the only one with this mental illness. 740-383-9944. The questions again. How did Friday the 13th first appear in literature? Does anybody know what happened in the story that was written the first time Friday the 13th appeared in literature? What comes in 13s? Does anybody know that? What scary person or person who's associated with scary things was born on a Friday the 13th? What two famous people in history actually had triskaidekaphobia, the fear of 13s? Does anybody know who those two people were? What local Marian business sponsored the first charity ball? When was that? First charity ball, or that the first charity ball, the last broadcast of the charity ball back in 2007. What local business sponsored the final broadcast of the last charity ball back in 2007? It's a local Marian business that is still in business today. Does anybody know what business that was? All right, maybe this is it. We'll get our answer. Let's see. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
The person you're looking for that was born on Friday the 13th, would that be Dracula?
Not Dracula, but, you know, I bet he probably was born on Friday the 13th.
That's the only thing I can think of right offhand.
It's a good guess. Hey, I thank you for calling in.
Yep.
Bye-bye. You know, Dracula probably was born on Friday the 13th. I know he did not like garlic. He did not like steaks in the heart. He did not like, you know, when I think of steaks in the heart, it always makes me think of a funny thing that I saw once. By the way, maybe this is an answer. Maybe I'll have to get to this another time, but steaks in the heart always triggers something in my mind. Go ahead, caller.
Was it Jason?
Oh, Jason from the Friday the 13th movies?
Yes.
It not Jason, but that's a good guess.
Okay, I know he was born on Friday the 13th.
I bet he was too. I would not disagree. Do you remember his last name?
Voorhees.
Voorhees, you're right. And I think he's still out there on the comic book circuit. Thank you. Yeah, Jason Voorhees from the Friday the 13th movies. You know, I imagine on some cable channel tonight they will be showing those Friday the 13th movies. Have no doubt about that. Maybe this is the right answer coming here. Go ahead, caller.
Alfred Hitchcock?
Alfred Hitchcock, you have got it. Alfred Hitchcock was born on Friday the 13th, 1899, I believe, when it was. All right, are you eligible to win a prize today?
Yeah, but I'm
going to
hold out.
Going to hold out. Well, no, I appreciate you calling in. And, yes, Alfred Hitchcock. Did you know that or did you look it up?
I had to look it up.
Well, that's okay. We'll get the answers any way we can take them.
Google, dear old Google.
Google
enriching all of our lives.
And
we'll learn. One trivia question at a time, Scott.
That's right. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Happy Friday the 13th. It was Alfred Hitchcock. Born on Friday the 13th, 1899. And I guess in 1999, they had a bunch of birthday celebrations. You know what? We are going to break, and we're going to come back with the toughest sheriff in America, Maricopa County Sheriff, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, live on the air. You're not going to want to miss this. Stay tuned. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess...
But there is something fascinated about... funky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors. Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here, and we have got a guest for the next 30 minutes that we're looking very much forward to talking with. He is a first-time visitor to this program, but I'm sure you know his name very well. He is the former sheriff of Maricopa County in Arizona, and he is running for sheriff again. There is a website, arpaioforsheriff.com. We're so happy to welcome to these microphones for the first time Sheriff Joe Arpaio, America's toughest sheriff. Sheriff Arpaio, how are you?
Oh, still alive and kicking.
It's good to speak with you. I know it's early out where you are, but I can't thank you enough for getting up and spending time with us.
My pleasure.
Sheriff, why are you running for sheriff again?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I spent 24 years as Maricopa County Sheriff. I'm actually the longest serving sheriff in history. And I started when I was 60 years old. And I say longest serving, I'm talking about Maricopa County, which is the third largest county in the United States. And our office is, well, probably the third largest office in the United States when you're dealing with elected sheriffs. So I decided, after a little thought, when thousands of people asked me recently to run again, and I talked to my wife of 61 years, and we agreed I'm going to give it a shot, expect to win, and straighten things out that's been occurring in the last 3 years.
On that note, if you do win again, what would you do? What is your plan for Maricopa County?
Well, quite frankly, I'm going to continue what I've been doing for 24 years and been very successful since people keep, the voters keep reelecting me. I never lost a Republican primary. Even in 2016, I won by a big margin, but it was that general election caused me some problems when you have the billionaire George Soros and certain law firms pumping over $3 million against me, and then you have a biased court that very conveniently under Obama administration hooked me as a with a contempt of court because the biased judge said I wasn't following his orders, and they did that just when early voting occurred, and all I was doing was enforcing the illegal immigration laws. So I had a lot of things against me, but that's okay. I'm going back and bring back the tents. The guy that former sergeant on a Phoenix police took everything away, my tents and all my policies. So when I get back, they're coming back.
Sheriff, because you are a national figure, obviously that's one thing that changed your last go-around, the last election. Do you think these things that got you out of office last time will appear this time?
Actually, this is probably the most important time for a guy like me to be the sheriff. You know, I supported President Trump right from the beginning at the first rally he held in July 2015 when hardly nobody would get on a stage, stand next to him. I did. I introduced him. I predicted he would be our next president. Of course, he won. So I'm with him, and he'll be running also when I'm running. So maybe it'll be very beneficial to both of us to win this election. Yeah, there's some people that, you know, talk about my age and call me a racist. And I think I've been on 4,000 interviews in foreign countries, plus around the nation. I didn't ask for it. They called me a publicity hound. But it's very strange. Everybody calls me. I don't call them. I just happen to have an open-door policy. I didn't run a CIA operation. Anytime the media wants to go into jails or tents or talk to me or talk to my people, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. And, of course, the media is very strange these days. I'm suing the New York Times and Cuomo of CNN and Rolling Stone, Huffington Post. They all call me a convicted felon. I'm not a convicted felon. It's a little misdemeanor, contempt of court, same as a barking dog. So the media, sometimes they go after you, big time. I'm a target. But if you look at my background, which nobody seems to do, it's all this, you know, sheriff background. But I was head of the federal drug enforcement in Turkey, parts of the Middle East, Mexico, South America, Central America, Texas, Arizona, all different areas that I served. And when you look at that, and all those years I served in the federal government, and I'm not talking about joining the Army when the Korean War broke out, or being a cop walking a black beat for almost 4 years in Washington, D.C., or a cop in Vegas. But here's a time that all my background is critical. We have problems in Turkey, definitely problems in Mexico, Central and South America, problems at the border. And when you look at my 58 years, I finally remembered, hey, wait a minute. I spent 35 years at the border on both sides as the top guy on the Mexican side and then the sheriff. We're only about 40 miles from the border. So I got all that experience. And what's the priorities today of the president? One of them, of course, a top priority is illegal immigration. And the other big priority is the heroin. We're being destroyed. Young people dying in our country because of the drugs coming in from Mexico. So I happen to have all that experience, and why not make use of it? So I'm going back in action, and use all that experience to get the job done for the people of Arizona, of Maricopa County, and of our country. Because people say, why do you do investigations that pertain to other areas? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you think all the drugs that we catch, or we did catch, not happening now, or all the illegal immigrants coming into my county, as I say, the third largest in the country, if you think all the dope peddlers and illegal immigrants are staying around Phoenix, no, they're heading for other areas of our country. So if you can stop that problem in Maricopa County, if you can't stop it at the border and they get into Maricopa County, you're doing something for the whole country. So I look at this as a national problem, international problem, and I've got all those experiences. So I want to go back, finish the job, hope in the next 4 years that we can make a big dent in these problems and make sure that the president gets reelected so we both can work together again.
You know, Sheriff Arpaio, and this is why I hope this interview is different than other media who you've had some trouble with and are in litigation with. We want to ask questions and clear some things up on your behalf. And as you said there, people do call you a racist. Why do you think they do that? And in your explanation, why are you not?
First of all, I'm not going into my family, but when you look at my grandkids, all different races, okay? Number one. But I don't have to defend myself. I know what I am. My mother and father came here from Italy legally. I worked in Turkey and got along with all the people there. I did a lot of undercover work because I was the only guy there. One day I'm in the hills shooting the dope peddlers. The next day I'm meeting the prime minister. But when I was regional director in Mexico, I had a lot of Asians. Panama, worked with Noriega, Argentina, and all over Mexico. And I was in charge of the DA and all those other areas in the country on separate occasions. So I don't know why. But I think I do know why. I'm a high-profile guy. They need a trophy. They need someone they can go after. And I'm the guy. No matter what I say, what I do, they're always going to call me a racist. I don't know, maybe the media and these activists discovered how to spell that name because they're calling everybody a racist now. I don't care who you are. They don't like what you do, and they can't get you on anything. They're going to throw the race card out. And that's what caused me problems in the courts, in these biased judge. I don't even think, though, when he went after me, I'm not going to go into his bias. You'd be shocked how he hated me. But I don't even think during the trials he said racial profile. He said I use race as a criteria, which ICE trained 150 officers to act as immigration officers. So I was following their guidelines. So I can go on and on the hit piece. It took Obama and his new attorney general 60 days after they took office to go after me. So after 8 years, they got me on a contempt of court, wasted all those resources, and got a judge that hated me. So that's the way it is. So they can call me whatever they want. Not going to stop me from doing my job. I'm a high-profile guy, so they love to go after me. And we'll see what happens in this coming election.
You know, it's interesting, Sheriff Arpaio, you bring up the court case, found guilty for criminal contempt. The reports that we all got were for detaining people who criminal charges could not be filed against, and that's the reasoning that we were given. Were you doing that in Maricopa County?
No, we weren't using. We were stopping people on other charges. The state came up to two new laws, human smuggling, employer sanction, where under those laws you can go into businesses, lock up the employees that they're hiring illegal immigrants. So we made a lot of raids, probably more than anyone in the country, including the government. But everybody seems to forget, most of the people we arrested in those businesses, like 95% of the illegal aliens, had fake ID. That's a serious charge when they steal your driver license number, social security. So nobody talks about that. I guess you get a pass if you happen to be here illegally. I did a survey before I left office. And out of 10,000 people in my jail, that were in jail for other crimes, but they happened to be here illegally, we turned them over to ICE. And guess what? 39% of those people came back to the same jails. One guy came back 20 times. So how do you figure that out? Well, they didn't all go back to Mexico. Many did and came back across the border. But they were being dumped back on the streets. They were not deported. So that was 2 years, I guess we'll say, from 2014 to 2016. So we had a big problem, and we still have a big problem, and it's getting worse. So I was enforcing the state laws and the federal laws. So we arrested tons of drugs, too. Many of those drugs were hauled in by illegal immigration. And I predicted 4 years ago that heroin is coming back. Well, I guess it's back, destroying all our young people. So now the president, of course, is looking at that. When you talk about building a wall, yeah, I'm for building a wall. But not just because of illegal immigration. That wall is important to keep the dope peddlers out. Nobody talks about it. Since 15 years ago, when I started this crusade, all I said was, hey, if you don't like it, have Congress change the laws. And every year, every election, Congress refused to do anything. They're still not doing anything. So why is this? I mean, if there's an emergency on some high-profile situation right away, Congress will, pass a law. But how come they're not passing laws on illegal immigration? I was always amused when these politicians on both sides of the fence, when they're running for office, they run down to the border, stand in front of the chicken wall, and they say, we're going to do something about illegal immigration. And then the other amusing thing is when they say, well, we have to do something at the border first, and then we'll look into the illegal immigration problem in the interior. So what that means, they don't want to lock up illegals in the United States. They blame the excuses, we have to do something at the border first, and then we'll look at it. So they got all these political reasons for not doing anything about it. So nothing has changed. Fortunately, we have a president that's doing things about the illegal immigration, and not just the law enforcement, because that's very complex when you talk about illegal immigration. So he's looking at all aspects that in the past nobody would really touch. So I don't know. If you ask me now, is Congress going to do something about it? I don't think so. Let's see. I don't think they're going to do anything. They're going to talk, make excuses. So the question that I have, and I think you have and many people have, why isn't something being done about it in Congress? Why are they afraid to make some moves and pass new laws or enforce the current laws or change the laws? Why? Big question. Why? It's been going on for years and years and years. So I'm one guy that I know many, many people are hoping I never get back. And I'm talking even some politicians, and of course, all those organizations have been after me. They don't want me back in office. They were happy they got rid of me, but when I get back, they may have a problem because I'm not going back to take a car home at night or make some money. I'm going back to get things done. And I got a lot of support out there. I don't know if it's going to translate into votes, but one reason I ran a couple of months ago, I made a decision. Actually, I made the decision on my wife's birthday and the anniversary when Trump pardoned me, and that I was going to run. So I killed three birds with one stone. And when I announced, I believe 16 million viewers watch that on televisions across the nation. So evidently I'm a little high profile guy. That's why I take all the heat. But
Sheriff,
that's the way it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting because you are running for sheriff again, and I do want to mention the website, arpaioforsheriff.com. You talk about the pardon date there, and after the verdict came down of guilty in the 2017 trial, President Trump did pardon you. What was that process? Did he call you and say he was going to do this before the trial or after? What? How does that happen?
Well, quite frankly, he didn't call me. I didn't ask him. He just knew what a witch hunt this was when he got alerted to it. And he pardoned me, so I didn't have to show up at the judge that had it in for me. Wouldn't even give me a jury trial because they know that I usually win when I have a jury trial. You know, I can defend myself, charge me with the wrong crime. I spent 8 days on a criminal defense table going through all this misdemeanor. Just when early voting started, just when the prosecutors, Obama prosecutors, said that we want him to serve 6 months in jail, we want him to be convicted, in the whole courtroom, even all my enemies, knew there was no case. So do you really think one judge is going to go against the other judge that asked for the contempt of court? It's not going to happen. It was stacked against me. So it was tough running that, winning that election and that process, which they knew, and also Soros and all that bunch pumped in millions to get me out of office. So it was a tough race, and, you know, but that's okay. I served 24 years, and now I'm going back to get another 4 years. But the pardon, I never asked for. Never asked for it.
So
he, I guess it's his first one, and very unusual because he pardoned me before I even had to go to court. So the judge cannot sentence me. She probably would have given me three days in the federal pen, just to, you know, give me something. But it didn't happen. And now we have 24 Democrats led by the head of the judiciary, the guy from New York that's going after the chairman, going after the president. Now their appeal, they want my pardon dumped. Why are they worried about a little pardon, misdemeanor? So they're filing to get my pardon dumped, which is never going to happen. It's just another way to use me as the whipping boy, as the trophy, and let everybody know that I'm a bad guy. So there's a lot, by the way, I've been in law enforcement 58 years all over the world, and many years as a top federal guy. I'm not going back there to get even. That's not the way I am. I think I'm going to go back to go and go after people that went after me. I'm going to go after people that violated the law. I don't care who they are. I've been investigating corruption as sheriff, judge, other elected officials. So if I find there's smoke and evidence, I'm going to go after them.
Sheriff,
so, go ahead.
Yeah, we got about 8 minutes left here, and I want to get these questions in. Final two questions. A lot of the problem with immigration, a lot of people feel, is that the business owners, a lot of whom, most of whom are Americans, employ people without papers, illegal immigrants. They employ illegal immigrants. And they're never really fined. They're certainly not put in front of a judge. Nothing really ever happens to the people hiring the illegal immigrants who give them the job in the country. Why is nothing ever done with them? If there were no jobs, I think it'd be highly unlikely that people would want to come here.
Well, it's a little tough sometimes in the law enforcement arena to grab the employers. I mean, they're supposed to check out who they hire. Sometimes it's difficult, as I say, to get the evidence to arrest and convict them. But in the process, when you're doing that, we're arresting the people working there. And I gave you earlier how serious it is. And I understand people come into our country to work. I understand that. But you got to do it legally. But you're right. Now, a federal judge, it did rule in my favor, believe it or not, that I could go in there and continue what I've been doing. But nobody's doing that. Last 3 years, I don't think they're rated at one place. So all these illegals who have a pass, they're working in the workplace. Same thing going on. But not as many are coming into our country, thanks to Trump and the crackdown at the border. No thanks to Congress, of course. And so they're not coming in as frequent as they did when I was the sheriff.
Sheriff, I want to ask you this, and you know, forgive me for asking this, but I do want to ask it because I think you have an opportunity to respond here and not a combative interview. Some of the things people say, some of the things that are on your Wikipedia page when you search Sheriff Joe Arpaio, charges are that you had tent cities, failed to properly investigate people, targeted political opponents, election law violations, and abuse of power by the sheriff of Maricopa County. What do you say to people who make those allegations?
Well, first of all, whatever you call it, I don't know, let them say what they want. Tent City, great program, started that when I took office 23 years, no problems. 500,000 people came in, and everybody, presidential candidates, visited the tents. They all loved the tents. Amnesty International hates the tents. And the guy that I beat, he made a deal with Soros to take the tents now. Big, good thing. As far as going after enemies, or what do you call it, political enemies, yeah, I've arrested some people that were politicians. Okay, I was doing my job. As far as all the other allegations, they're not right. They just take things out of context, put it in there, and they repeat, other media repeats it. But I just, earlier, what did I tell you? I'm suing these big media for lying, calling me convicted felon. So someone has to take this media on and stop all these lies and fake news, as the president says. So they can say whatever they want. And by the way, I guess they've been saying that for years and years and years. How come I keep getting reelected? Now, I didn't get elected, reelected last time. That was a fluke. I told you all the reasons that they went after me. So I'm not concerned what these people say. The voters understand what I've done, and many of them want me back. So I'm going back.
Is there anything, any point that you disagree with President Trump on outside of immigration?
That's a good question, and I've been the honorary chairman for Bush and Mitt Romney, Rick Perry, so I know how presidents campaign. I've been campaigning with them, and I know how they operate doing a campaign. I do know that they say, be careful what you say. We don't want you to say something that goes against our campaign philosophy. Well, I'll tell you, Trump, when he was a candidate, and his staff never asked me, never said, don't do this, don't say that. So I had to wing it. When I introduce them all the time, I had to make up what I feel the qualities he has and what he's going to do. So nobody told me what to say. So I say that because I would say 95% of what I said, he believed in. And I didn't get together. My gut told me, so I have to say whatever he's doing to this day, I agree with. I'm not a flip-flopper. And actually, I've been doing it or have the philosophy and how I feel. So that's a strange relation. Now, I did meet with him in private for a while, just me and him. I only say that because I don't go around bragging. But everybody wanted to know what I said in the meeting. I don't say tell anybody what I said if I meet with the president. If he wants to talk about it, let him. So all these politicians, if they do that, they come running out, get the press, oh, I just met with the president, blah, blah, we said this. I don't talk about it.
Final.
But he's my hero. I said that when NBC asked me who my hero was. Was it John McCain? And I paused, and I said, boy, it took me 78 years to find my hero, which I did 4 months ago when they asked me that last year. And I said, my hero is President Trump, and he will always be my hero. I never had a hero in my life. Never. That's the way I am.
Sheriff Arpaio.
I'll be with him to the end.
Sheriff Arpaio, one more question here before we wrap up so we're on time. And I do want to thank Sheriff Arpaio for joining us live this morning. And remember, arpaioforsheriff.com if you want more information on his run in Maricopa County. But Sheriff, the rub on you here in Ohio and other parts of the country, not so much the racism thing, but it is that you are anti-Latino, that people don't talk about illegal immigration from Canada or other parts of the country, other countries that is sometimes even greater than the people coming from Mexico, that it's really just about the Mexican population with you, and that's what makes you an evil person. What do you say to that allegation?
Well, first of all, most of the people coming in are from Mexico and some from the Middle East, so it's an international problem. It could be a terrorism problem. Number two, I'm not the sheriff in Canada or the border. I'm the sheriff down here, the Mexican. So how can I lock up the Canadians if I'm here enforcing the laws at the Mexican border? Nasty, you're going to arrest people coming across that border. So I don't understand what they're talking about. But if I had a, by the way, I get a lot of threats, and my guys went all the way to Canada twice to lock people up, threaten to kill me, but that's a different situation. And we don't have that problem in the Canadian border like we have in the Mexican border. So I don't know what they want to do. Now, if they want to give me authority across the whole country, and I cover that area, the Canadian and the U.S. border, be my guest. I'll be glad to go and run the operations up there.
Sheriff Arpaio, I can't thank you enough for coming on this morning, getting up early. I hope you come back in the future. ArpaioForSheriff.com is the website. Thank you so much, Sheriff. You have a great day.
Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio, love him or hate him, he is an interesting figure in American politics, running for sheriff again in Maricopa County. Exclusive interview here on WWGH Radio. Charlie Evers comes up in 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
But
because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that are